more song leaders, more and more men that are practicing and taking Tom Hines' advice, keeping on practicing. And I'm very grateful to see so many that are being willing to step up and do work that needs to be done. Open your Bibles, if you would, please, to Mark chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. It will be our text this evening. Mark 4. On the same day, when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." Now when they had left the multitude, they took him across in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, "Who can this be, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The apostles, they were not called apostles really at this time. They're still being called disciples. But these men had a lot to learn about that man that was asleep in the back of the boat. They had a lot to learn about him. They had seen his power. They had seen him heal the sick. They had seen him teach in a way that was different than the scribes and Pharisees taught. They had heard the words that Jesus spoke to them. They had learned the lessons that he was giving, or were learning them. But for some reason, they still had not grasped, it appears, this is God. For some reason, they just had not quite picked up on that. And maybe even if they were having an inkling that this is God, they had no concept of the power that God has. Now we have an advantage over them. We have the whole Old Testament in multiple copies throughout our house. Many of us carry a Bible in our car. We have it on our tablets and phones. We have computers, and we have maybe even recordings of the Bible where we can listen to it. I mean, we can hear the stories of God's power, but they didn't have ready copies of the Old Testament in every home. That's why they went to the synagogue every Sabbath day, to hear the reading of the Word, like we were talking about Jesus doing this morning. That's why they went to the temple, to hear the teaching and the reading of the Word. When King Josiah found the Old Testament, or one of the priests actually found it and brought it to the king, and the king rent his clothes. Now this is a young man, but he rent his clothes and he wept. And he called the people together and he read the law to the people. Because they didn't have copies in there on their coffee table. All right, they didn't have them. We have ready access to all the stories, to those great events where God showed his power. Plus, we have the New Testament in its completed form. We can read about Jesus. We can see the miracles that he performed. And if we use the imagination of faith, we can look back in our imagination and picture, try to picture what it must be like when the roof is torn open and this man is let down on a bed. And Jesus tells this man, "Arise, take up your bed and walk." And he does. Or when there's a funeral procession going by, the widow's son, and Jesus stopped the funeral procession and messed it up because he raised the boy from the dead. We can imagine, we can picture, try to picture these stories in our head, but they haven't experienced all this yet. And so this just shocks them. It doesn't shock us that Jesus says, peace, be still, and the waves are calm, and there's a great calm. The wind is gone. The waves are calm. That doesn't surprise us. That doesn't shock us. It doesn't shock us that he could take 5 loaves and 2 fish and feed a multitude. That doesn't shock and surprise us. We've read those stories. We've heard them so many times. They're so familiar to us. But they're living it. They're seeing it. They're in the boat. They're in the boat. What kind of man is this that even the wind and the waves obey his voice? Yeah, they were very afraid. Don't you know God not only can handle the storms on the Sea of Galilee, he can handle all the storms that come up in our life. He can take care of every situation that we find ourselves in. And we all find ourselves in moments of storm. When things are not going right, when life seems to be tumbling all the wrong way, and nothing seems to be working, don't you think God can settle that storm? Don't you think God is with you? In Job 37, verse 14, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. Have you ever watched ants? Have you ever actually watched ants? Now, some of you, the young ones, y'all don't know what I'm talking about. But you older ones, you've heard of ant farms. And maybe you saw them in school when you were growing up. And maybe some of you were mischievous enough you opened the lid and let the ants out into the classroom. I hope you didn't, but I suspect in this room there was one or two that probably did. But you remember those little ant farms. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, you can go to YouTube and you can type ant farm and you can see one. Okay? You can actually see what it is. That'll be a good school project for you little ones, to look up on YouTube and see an ant farm. So it was a little glass thing, and you could see those ants working, moving stuff around. They had dirt up on top. They were clearing out tunnels. They were the queen was laying her eggs. They were moving around food. They were out foraging for food. I mean, it's just a whole little colony, and they're never still. They're just as busy as they can be. And so many times we are like those ants, going to and fro, back and forth. Got so much to do. We're so busy. And Job says, stand still and consider the wondrous works of God. I love Psalm 46, verse 10, which says, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. Sing this song with me. Lord, I want to quiet my soul. Oh, Lord, I want to be still and know that you are God. Quiet my soul. Lord, I want to quiet my soul. Oh, Lord, I want to be still and know that you are God. Quiet my soul. Psalm 4, verse 4, stand in awe and sin not. Meditate within your heart, own your bed, and be still. There's something to be said for just stopping. Just stop and be still. Somebody once said that they can't stand the idea of being bored. If there's nothing to do, I'm just bored. These little ones, these little kids, they'll say, I'm bored, Mama. I want something to do. I'm bored. Let me tell you something wonderful about boredom. Boredom is not something that most of us get to experience anymore. I pray to God that you can be bored. I pray to God that every one of you can be bored. Because boredom is one of those moments when, if you use it right, can bless your life. Boredom is one of those times when you're bored, when you have absolutely nothing to do, and you're bored, that's a wonderful time to reflect upon the wondrous works of God. It's a time to consider your relationship with Him. It's a time to stop in this busy, crazy world and to think about God, to think about Him. Because we get so caught up. Chris's confession this morning about his desire to study God's Word every day and pray to God every day and live the way God wants him to live every day. He would not have made that confession if he hadn't have stopped and thought and realized, this is something I need to do. And this is something all of us need to do. We need to be still and know that He is God. Why do we so often react to trouble and temptation? Why do we react to it? We react. I'm going to tell you, I was telling Harold about this and asking him to pray for me a while ago. I'm sitting in traffic on 72 the other day, and there's a Pepsi truck. Now, I've had a friend of mine that used to say, you know, Pepsi's a communist drink, you need to drink Coke, and I'm not going to go there. But this Pepsi truck made me think my friend might be right. He was sitting there on 72. There's two cars in front of him. We're in the turn lane trying to head south right there at 72 to get on to 31 heading south. And we're stuck in traffic. And headed east was everyone in the state of Alabama. And both lanes were stopped, and all these, the goofy red light planning that the fathers of Athens have done to us on 72 is destroying. It's going to destroy our town if they don't get those red lights fixed. It's going to destroy our city. People are not even going to want to come here. It's going to end up like Decatur. Okay, well, there you go. You know how I feel about Decatur. I don't like going through Decatur during traffic. All right, well, 72 is getting that bad. So I'm sitting here. Now, I'm in a hurry. I got things to do. And it's pouring down rain, and I want to get home. And traffic is coming, and there's hardly anybody headed west, but everybody's going east. And these two cars finally go. They finally go. And that Pepsi truck pulls up to the light, and he sits there. Well, the light turns yellow. He doesn't move. You know I came from Indiana. And in Indiana, when the light turns yellow, three more cars go through, for sure. When the light turns yellow, it doesn't matter. And if you're in a turn lane and the light turns red, three cars will go ahead and make a left turn, even on the red light, and the police just smile and wave. Because that's the way it is in the city. Well, this Pepsi driver was from the country. He didn't understand that. So he sat there. Y'all, I sat through seven signals. Seven signal changes. I'm squeezing this pulpit right now so hard you can see my finger indentions. I'm sitting through seven light changes. And I'm getting madder and angrier. And we're frustrated, and the Hulk is coming out, and I'm starting to yell at this Pepsi driver, and I forgot the Lord's in the car right beside me. I completely forgot. He's sitting here right beside me. And I feel like such a dope. Lord, I want to quiet my soul. Lord, I want to be still and know that you are God. Quiet my soul. Now, you would think at 63, almost 64 years old, I'd have this temper thing licked. For those of you listening at home, I'm pointing at Stan. Because he has confessed road rage to the point not of getting out with a crowbar, but still. Road rage. We react to problems. We react to troubles. We react instead of being still. Instead of trusting in God, we act like spiritual lemmings headed for the cliff. Follow the leader, do what everybody else does. And over, God admonishes us. Think about the end. Think about the consequences. watch, take heed, consider, stop, be still, wait upon the Lord. And yet we rush into sin. Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 through 19. It's a passage that all of you know very, very well. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto him. A proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, and heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. If we're not careful, if we tend to react instead of act, if we tend to allow the situations that we find ourselves in to dictate how we respond, we'll find ourselves having feet that are swift and running to mischief. We'll find ourselves like the lemmings going over the cliff, spiritually speaking. We'll find ourselves in a bad spot. In Job chapter 34, verse 29, when he gives quietness, who then can make trouble? Now, just let that sink in. When he gives quietness, who then can make trouble? And when he hides his face, who then can see him? There's the contrast. Whether it is against a nation or a man alone, you're not going to have any help from God if he hides his face from you. But when God gives quietness, who can make trouble? You see, God is taking care of us. He always has. He always will. When we leave home, maybe going to work, maybe going on a trip, we're going to be separated from some of our family. Don't we pray, Lord, please take care of my family till I get back. My friend, God's been taking care of them all along. He's going to take care of them while you're gone. He's going to be the one taking care of them when you get back. He's always been the one taking care of us. He's always been the one that's blessed us and provided for us, protected us. There's times when he's had to punish us, times when he's had to discipline us. But God's the one that's always been taking care of us. That's why we can echo the words of Paul in Philippians 4, verse 6 and 7. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication and with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So stop. Be still. Lay on your bed at night. Lay down that phone. Turn off that TV. And be still. And think about God. While you're lying in your bed, think about your relationship with him while you're lying there in the dark. Consider what God has done for you and what he wants you to do in response. Stop. Consider. Trust and obey. Psalm 25, verse 4 and 5. Show me your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths. Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. What does it mean to wait upon the Lord? Well, we talked about this in a sermon in the fall, last fall. To wait on the Lord is not sitting there with your arms crossed waiting for God to do something. No. It's serving the Lord. Serving him. Think of a waiter in a restaurant. Wait upon the Lord. Serve him. Be pleasing to him. Seek his will. Do his will. And it does also involve waiting, for God will tell you what he wants. He will tell you in his word how he wants us to be, how he wants us to live. But sometimes we just need to stop and listen, and wait. Psalm 27, 14, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. So, I simply call this little lesson, be still. Just be still. Just stop what you're doing, and be still. Shut down the world. And shut down your fears and your concerns. Just shut them down and be still. When you are tempted to react, be still. Be still. Be quiet. Wait. And think. Think about the consequences. Think about the response. Think about how this is going to result or what results are going to come from this. Instead of giving in to your first impulse, your first reaction, stop and wait and think. What would God have me do? How would God have me respond? You'll end a lot of arguments that way. You'll unhinge the deceptive and evil plans of wicked men. You will be able to build relationships instead of destroy them. You'll be able to solve problems instead of making them worse. And you'll be able to become more and more like Jesus if we learn to just stop and wait on the Lord. Consider, be still and consider what God would have you do, how He would have you respond. And you'll avoid a lot of trouble. Consider your life, consider your relationship with the Lord. If tonight there's a way we can help you, either to become a Christian or to rededicate your life to the Lord, having already obeyed the gospel, whatever your need tonight, if there's a way we can help you, we invite and encourage you to come right now if you need to, as we stand and sing.